So wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up.
Is a presentation of the Heart to Heart 2014 study through 1st and 2nd Peter, titled Living Hope. For more information about this ministry, please go to www.refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Now let's get into the study.
I love that song, and I love that last song as well. Which was the last song? Soon and very soon, I'm going to be going. I was sitting here crying, yes, and so we had to have a song that was like, yes, wake up. You know, if you listened to the news this morning, did you hear the news this morning? Wake up. That is what the first thing that came to my mind this morning as I heard some of the news, and I'm not speaking of anything particular. I do have some things in my mind, but I just, you know, the Lord told me a long time ago, the scripture that a fool speaks her whole mind, but a wise person keeps it until after, so I will do that. But when I heard some of the things, the first thing that came to my mind is, wake up, all believers, stand up, all of you dreamers, the dreamers who can see something better than what we have right now. And hands up, all believers. Take up your cross. Carry your cross. That is our scripture today. That's what Peter is talking to them about, is taking up their cross at that particular time. Lord, I am so thankful for your word today. I am so thankful, Lord, that you have given us this book of 1 Peter, this letter that has been given to us, not only to the people of its time, Lord, but it has been given to us. And I am thankful, Lord, that it is presented before us, Lord, and we are ministering to you through it, and we are being ministered to. We are being challenged. We are being strengthened. We are getting clarity to the things that are going on in our lives and in our world today, Lord, because we're in your word. So I thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Direct us as we listen, as I speak, Lord. May they be your words. And we ask you, Lord, Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would make your presence evident amongst us. And I thank you so much for being here. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And so last week we talked about this whole thing of Peter and what he was about. The week before we talked about what he was about, and then last week we talked about what these letters are about that he'd sent out. Now, at this particular time when this letter was written, it's going to be about a year, year and a half, and Nero is going to come on the scene. Nero, you know about Nero. Many of you, most of you probably know what happened under Nero and how he hated the Christians. And the Christians were tarred and set on fire one night because Nero had blamed them for something. And that was going to be a devastation of them. It was going to be tribulation. It was going to be a trial that they had never been through before. And Peter is writing this letter to warn them and to encourage them that in the midst of all of this, the Lord is with you. He will keep you. He is the one who has called you. He is the one that will take care of you. Now, Peter is going to die in about a year after these letters were written. So perhaps before that happened with Nero. And he will die and he will request to be hung, crucified, upside down, because he's not worthy to be crucified in the same way that his Lord was. That's what tradition tells us. So that's the background of this letter that we need to keep in mind, that he is presenting before them that I know times are tough right now, but honey, we have only just begun. And life is hard, and it probably is not going to get easier. And we need to pay attention to that. So we have verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. He was the apostle. We know that. It's written to the pilgrims of the dispersion, those who have a heart set on pilgrimage. Psalm 84, you remember that from last week. Of the dispersion in Pontus, in Galatia, in Cappadocia, in Asia, and Bithynia. Who is it written to? Those pilgrims that are the elect. That is, they are the chosen. You are a chosen generation, which, by the way, is to all generations. You are a chosen generation. You are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit. What is sanctification? It is a setting apart. You are being set apart for a particular purpose. You know, like you have a pitcher at home, you use this pitcher only for water. You don't put iced tea in this pitcher. You don't put, maybe it's a plastic pitcher that holds the fragrance or the taste of something else. You only use this pitcher for water. It is sanctified. It is set apart for a purpose. What is the purpose that we are set apart for? For obedience. It says right here, we are set apart for obedience, and it says the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, and that is the cleansing from sin. We are being set apart for obedience, for the purpose of obedience, and that are for the cleansing from sin. That's what we're set apart from by God. And then it goes on to say, grace, God's riches at Christ's expense to you, and peace be multiplied. If you have God's riches at Christ's expense, you're going to have that peace that surpasses all understanding that will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. If we're living under that grace, if we have given our hearts to the Lord, if we're walking in that obedience, if we have that cleansing from sin. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to what? To a living hope. What is hope? It's in faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen. We're going to see that again in this scripture that we're covering today. That hope, that living hope, he has given us, mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through what? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not enough that Jesus just died on the cross. It's not enough that he just died for our sins. Without the resurrection, there is no life. And it is through that resurrection of Christ from the dead that we have that living hope. To what? To an inheritance. To an inheritance that is incorruptible. Incorruptible and undefiled, completely pure, and that does not fade away. It's not going away, and it is reserved for us in heaven. What is that? It is the eternal life that we receive from Jesus Christ because of his action and because of what he's done. You, reserved for heaven, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God. You are kept through the power of God. As I was looking at this, actually, the Lord gave me this word for Bob Wicks as I was praying for him one morning. You know, he's still recovering from the surgery on his heart, the 5 bypass, whatever that's called. Anyway, 5 of them were taken care of. And I was just praying for him, and I was in the Word, and I got this particular scripture that he is kept by the power of God through faith for saving. That's what the Lord spoke to me, that he would be kept through the power of God. He would be saved. We're not talking about eternal salvation. That's just what the Lord spoke to me, and I have to speak that out. I called Myrna right away and let her know that scripture. But we are being kept by the power of God. We are being kept. We are kept women. We are kept. We are kept by the power of the living God. He takes care of us through faith for salvation. And that salvation, which is eternal life, is ready to be revealed in the last time. What days are we living in, ladies? We are living in the last times. If you do any of those, if you're on the internet reading some of the things about this is going on and that's going on and this little thing is happening, nobody's talking about this over here, you could be devastated by the things that we see coming, or you could be encouraged and asking God for the strength to carry you through, to keep you in the midst of it, in faith with him in these last times. Verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice. What? That you are chosen, that you are set apart, that you are being kept by the power of the living God. In this you greatly rejoice, though now just for a little while. Soon and very soon, I'll be going to that place that he has prepared for me. It's only a little while that you're here. It's only a little while that these trials are going on. It's only a little while. It's a short time. A little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. If need be is an important thing in there. If need be. Do I need to go through trials? Oh, yes. I do need. Because I have a real tendency to just go with the flow and let everything just be okay. Everything, everywhere is fine. I'm just good. It's all good. But no, sometimes we need those trials, don't we? And this is why. Verse 7, that the genuineness, the sincerity of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes. The genuineness of your faith is much more precious than the gold that perishes. Now, there are some things about gold. I heard on the news last night that because of the drought that's going on, did anybody else see that? Because of the drought that's going on in Northern California, and the lakes and so forth are, and the little streams are running not so full, that the gold, they're panning gold again, because the gold that was at the bottom underneath everything is now coming to the surface. And so they're again mining for gold, are panning for gold, panning for gold. Panhandling just kept coming to my mind, and I knew it was so wrong, but they were panning for gold. But there's something about this gold that is that you get when you pan for gold, when you mine gold. It's precious, and it comes at a price. But when it has been refined, it is more precious. When it's gone through the fire, and it shows the reflection of the refiner's fire, this shows the reflection of the refiner in the fire, that gold is worth more. And yet this scripture says that the genuineness of your faith is more precious than gold. Why? Because gold perishes. It'll all be gone. Those of you who have been saved a long time, you remember the days when we used to say it's all going to burn. It's all going to be gone. Only this is what lasts. Only this, my soul with the Lord. Though it is tested by fire, though your faith is tested by fire. And again, it goes back to that being able to see that reflection that God has, that reflection of himself in that fire that we go through, that we may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revealing of Jesus Christ. We're at the revealing of Jesus Christ. When we see Jesus, I will see Jesus. I am so excited. I will see Jesus. And when I do, I will be found in praise and honor and glory to him at the revealing, because I will be carrying his praise. I will be carrying his honor. I'll be carrying his glory, because when I see him, I'm going to be like him, because that's what Scripture says. I'll be like him, and I will know the things as I am known. Verse 8, who having not seen, that's faith. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen. So having not seen, you love Jesus Christ. You love Jesus Christ. He's telling them here. You love him even though you haven't seen him. I sat there, Paul would say, I stood there and I saw him on the Mount of Transfiguration. I saw his glory. There I was. And what did he do? He kept talking, didn't he? Remember when he was on the at Transfiguration, and he goes, "Oh, this is a good thing. We got to build these three temples, and we should do one for all three of you guys that are standing there." And he just kept talking, but now he's mature. And he says, "Even though you who have not seen him, you believe and you rejoice with what? A joy that is inexpressible and full of glory." It's inexpressible. We are speechless in that glory. We are speechless in that joy. Have you ever been so excited about something you just can't even... Anybody else ever do that? I do that. I guess I'm just... There's just a couple of us that do that. But you just can't even... You can't express that kind of joy. And it wells up in you, that joy inexpressible and full of glory. And as I read this, and forgive me if I am putting words into Scripture, which is a no-no, full of his glory. A joy inexpressible and full of his glory. Receiving the end of your faith, which is what? The end of your faith is the salvation of your souls. The end of your faith, when we come to that day when we are, the faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, when we come to the end of that faith, the salvation of our souls, that eternal life. Verse 10, of this salvation, the prophets, having inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow, to them it was revealed that not to themselves, even as they were writing this, even as they were penning this and putting it onto papyrus or paper or whatever it was that they put it on, even as they're writing to it, they realize we don't understand this, and we realize too that this is not for me, but it is for those who will come, for those who will read this. As they wrote it down, but to us, this has been given. They were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit that was sent from heaven. By the Holy Spirit that was sent from heaven. The Holy Spirit was sent to us to be our comforter, our companion, to be the one that comes alongside of us. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Jesus said, "I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send you the Holy Spirit to be your comforter." And so here we are with the Holy Spirit that was sent from heaven, the things which angels desire to look into. What does this mean, which angels desire to look into? Now, this could be a whole study in itself, because as I looked at this, Bill and I are talking about this back and forth, and this is my personal opinion, okay? This is what I think. I believe that we are the only ones that we're talking about salvation here. We're talking about redemption. I believe that angels are not redeemed. Because I believe that in Genesis, when it says that God breathed into them the breath of life and they became a living soul, the soul being the very most important thing. It is our soul that is saved. And I don't believe that, personal opinion, please, not heresy, personal opinion, I believe that angels do not have that soul. And I think that that's why they were anxious to look into this. How is this possible that you would give your life for this? Perhaps they would look at, you know what, that's something that you can get onto all yourself, but I personally believe this, and if you believe that, go ahead and write it down. If you don't, if you disagree with that, it's not a big deal, because it's not something that your salvation hinges on. That's just my opinion. So therefore, verse 13, gird up your loins, the loins of your mind. What does that mean? Gird up the loins of your mind. As they traveled around, as they were working, and they have these long, I want to say gowns, but they're not gowns, are they? They're tunics and they're long coverings. And when they needed to go to work, when they were about to do things, they take off the outer coverings and they cinch up. They make into this skirt, if you will, comes between their legs, and it attaches up here. They put a belt on, a leather belt or a tie or something that makes it easy to move, makes it easier to move about. They would get tripped up if they just let that hang. You've been in long dresses before. You know how that is. You want to walk fast, you trip over it. You want to do something, you trip over it. You know, everything. So they would cinch up over and make it into pants so that it was two-legged, so that they could do what was necessary to do. And this is saying that so that they are ready for what is ahead of them. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be ready for action. Be ready for action. Be prepared. Get ready to go. And how do you do that? Be sober. This is not just talking about not drinking. This means to pay attention. Be sober. Pay attention to what's going on. Be sober and rest your hope fully. Now, I have that fully circled in my Bible, and I'm loving marking up my Bible. I love that. This is a kind of a new Bible, and I'm loving putting new markings in it. Fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revealing of Jesus Christ. So we are to rest your hope, that living hope, rest your hope, the things that are hoped for, fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revealing of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, in verse 14, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Again, I have it circled. I have it colored. All your conduct. Don't be drawn back into that old life. Don't be drawn back into those old thought patterns. Don't be drawn back into the things that you once did. Because, verse 16, it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And my dear friend, old guy who is now with the Lord, Brother Harold used to say, and brother, that is holy. Be ye holy, even as he is holy. Man, that is holy. And we are to be holy in all of our conduct. In all of our conduct. Verse 17, and if. Remember, we've talked before, those of you who have been here for a while, you remember that we talked about, I circle all of the ifs in my Bible. Because an if says, if you do this, I will do this. So if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work. So there's no partiality with God. There's neither Jew nor Greek. You can wear white or you can wear black or you can wear denim at the thing on Friday night. But he has no partiality. We all are on the same place. We are all his favorite. I'm his favorite, you're his favorite, you're his favorite, you're his favorite. Just like what if you've heard Pastor Bill talk about when he had talked to the kids, and he'd call them and go, "Hi, is this my favorite kid?" "Yeah, yeah." And so he calls every one of them his favorite, and I know that they believe that they are his favorite because they really are. And he really loves them like God has loved us, his children, and who judges according to each one's work. Conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here. I love that. Conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here, as your stay, in fear. What does that mean? In awe. In looking at him, keeping your eyes set on him. Verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, those things that pass away, like silver or gold from your aimless conduct, received by tradition from your fathers. Those things that you just did because your mom did them or your father did it. You just followed through in what they did. You really didn't have a belief in it. You didn't have a conviction for it. You just did it. Reminds me of the story of the lady who, when she made her ham, she cut off the end of the ham and she put it in the pan. And her child asked her, why do you cut off the end of that ham? She goes, "Well, I don't really know why. My mom did it. My grandmother did it." So in asking and finding out why it was that they used to put it in there like that, the grandmother said, "I just didn't have a pan that was big enough, so I cut off the end of it." You know, we do things because, aimlessly, just because it was a tradition to do it. Verse 19, but we are bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And why do we need that? Because the wages of sin are death. The wages of sin is death. And we need that cleansing, that precious blood. We were bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He indeed, verse 20, was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God. We believe in God the Father through the Son, who raised him, Father raised the Son, from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God. Your faith and your hope are in God. So verse 22, since or because you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love, in sincere love of the brethren, we are to love one another fervently with a pure heart. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. Sincere. Remember the story of what sincerity is. Without wax. Without that stuff that they put on the statues. When they just wanted to pass them for something that was good, and the heat comes on and that part melts off. Sincere, a sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again. That's the important part. You having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is grass. And all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away. Verse 25, but the word of the Lord endures forever. What is the word of the Lord? Jesus Christ is the word. He is the word. He endures forever. And now this is the word which by gospel was preached to you. And he ends that with that line. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. So what will we do with what we've just learned this morning? As you get into your small groups and you talk about, you've had 2 weeks to put this together, right? 2 weeks to have put this together. Some of you did, anyway. But pay attention to those little words. the all, the ifs. Pay attention. So you are the chosen. You are set apart for the cleansing of your sin. You are kept by the power of God, that the genuineness of your faith would carry you through it, through the fire, and that even though you haven't seen him, you rejoice with that joy inexpressible and full of glory. And this is brought to us, and rest your hope fully upon the grace of God, that grace that he's given to you. And then be ye holy, even as he is holy. We are bought by the precious blood of Christ. And because of that, we have that sincere love. We love one another fervently because we know that our time here is short. And it is the word of God that endures. And so, Lord, as we just go into our small groups now, Lord, we pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that our hearts would be so turned to you, that we would be so conscious of who you are and what you're doing in our lives. Lord, that you would be blessed beyond all measure. Lord, that you would be the center of our attention, that we wouldn't be drawn away by the things that were in our past, Lord, but that we would continually go forward. I thank you, Lord. I praise you. We pray for our country, God. We pray for our country. We pray, God, that those who call themselves believers would humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways so that you can hear from heaven and you can heal our land. We thank you, Lord. Remind us at 7:14 in the morning and 7:14 in the evening, Lord, to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways so that you can heal our land. And we thank you, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
So wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up, hands up, hands up, all believers,
take up your cross and carry it all.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.